listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, here we are. Well, how's it going? And welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with the great Wayne Fritz. Wayne.
Hey, Bruce.
How's everybody doing? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm still trying to get Thanksgiving out of my system.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, let me first start the show on a high note. I know a few weeks ago we had fighter Aspen Ladd on our program, and she fought in the new league, in her new assignment in the Professional Fighters League. It was televised on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and she's, of course, in her new weight division, and I'm very pleased to report that she won her fight.
Hallelujah.
And I think coming on the show just made a difference. Just kidding.
Yeah, I do too.
Just being here and being able to talk things through from her car, it just made it didn't anyway. But no, man, congratulations to Aspen Ladd and Jim West Gold and everybody at that team in California for a huge win for Aspen Ladd. So And so glad to see her with a win that she deserves. And so this is going to be good. This will be a good rebirth of sorts for her as she pursues her career in the PFL.
That's awesome.
So that is always good. Always good when we have folks making a difference and succeeding in high levels of success. So anyway, but good stuff for Aspen Ladd. And of course, her little brother, Shaler. I can't wait to see this kid fight again. He's really close to entering into the professional realm. And then once he does that, we're gonna also be able to follow him easier when they hit the professional realm. It's just easier to follow sometimes than these amateur. You don't know where these amateur fights are, and they're kind of hard to see unless you're there in person, and that's very difficult. Anywho, so yeah, that's the report on one of our guests, and this is our Thanksgiving show. It's a few days later, but we're going to count this as our Thanksgiving holiday show, right, Wayne?
That's right, and I'll tell you, that's what I was going to say earlier that. Well, you know, I don't want to get all crazy or anything, but in the Bible it says, give thanks in all things.
Yep.
But I'm going to tell you that then people say, well, we don't celebrate Thanksgiving or zip. But you know what? It just reminds you. Sometimes it gives you a slap upside the head reminder that we should be feeling that same way every day.
Right.
Because it is a Thanksgiving every day. And I'll tell you, I was with relatives, and I was sitting there cramming all the food I could cram down my face like a chipmunk eating. But I was just looking around thinking, holy cow, how thankful can anyone be that's gathered together? You know, even when you hear the old hymns of Thanksgiving, we gathered to gather to have the Lord's dinner. It means so much. And I've got so much to be thankful for this year. And I've got a little something I'm going to drop on you too, that we've got a girl that I'm talking with that I hope will be coming on next week, Bruce. Oh. I'll let you know more about her. I'll tell you, her first name is Haley, like Haley's Comet.
Haley's Comet.
And man, I'm going to tell you what, she is a comet. Man, she flashes through. I mean, oh, you wow. know, like that fly, like whoosh. I don't mean flashes, but she's a beautiful young lady that used to sell for the company that I was with another dealer in Amarillo. But she just was always busy because she's a trainer.
Okay.
And I mean, she is a type A personality. And now she's got this business where she trains trainers. Perfect. She's perfect for our show.
Absolutely.
And she's a buzzsaw. We talked a couple of weeks ago, and I'll be talking with her today, and I'll get you the information. But man, talk about that we all coach. So she coaches other people, and she lives what she coaches. That's pretty exciting.
Is she based out of Amarillo, or where is she based?
That's where she lives. That's where.
Wow.
Yeah. So she's been there her life.
Wow.
Actually, she was from a little bitty teeny weeny town.
Teeny weeny town, huh?
Like that's real little. When they're teeny weeny,
like
real little.
Quanah, Childress. Where's
there? It's kind of like it's littler than Childress. I can't remember where it is, but it's off out there in the distance where. If you blink, I don't even think there's a yellow light going through town.
There you go.
I just think you buzz by a building.
Yep. That's always always fun. Look forward to that. You know, I got a lot of respect for people that can really sustain themselves in those smaller areas. I mean, here in Dallas, Fort Worth, there's what, 7 million, 8 million doors to knock. A lot of folks here. You know what I mean? You could, by the time you got halfway around the circle, it'd be new people on the backside of that circle. So it's really good to.
You know, it's interesting, Bruce, that out there in Amarillo, you just made me think of something in small businesses. I've got a friend that lives out there. That's what I wind up knowing a little bit about Amarillo. I used to visit him, and then I was just out there about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
Got some other things with him. I flew out there and stayed a few days. And that's where I met Haley.
I see.
But you know, my friend smokes cigars.
Here we go.
Now, I don't happen to smoke cigars, but I won't even buy a bubblegum cigar. I'm scared to death because I used to smoke, and I won't even buy candy cigarettes. So I really stay away from that stuff. But anyway, Stan likes a good old, he smokes a couple of those great old big cigars every day. And there's a little cigar store that he goes to that he's been going to it for 7 or 8, 9 years. And that's a small business. You talk about a small business. And they're in business. They're open. It's a beautiful place. And you can go there and sit in a big old leather chair and smoke your cigar if you want to.
As well as the store.
Yeah. So, and they've been in business for a good while.
Oh, yeah.
It's just kind of out of a house, you know, that's turned into a business. And you got to give a hats off, you know, that they give a service. And Stan, when I was with him, he said, hold on a minute. And we pulled up in front, and he went in and bought a handful and came out. He stocked up, I guess, and then came out. But it reminded me that, you know, a lot of businesses today that start don't last 5 years.
Right. You know, and interestingly, you know, people in towns like Amarillo and Dumas, you know, they're underserved in many ways. You know what I mean? Like there's room for more life coaches there. There's room for more counselors there. You know what I mean? There's room for a psychiatrist there. I mean, it's, in certain respects, some of these smaller towns are underserved.
Yes, many ways.
And you know what? Even in the cigar demographic, I'm sure there's not a cigar bar lounge on every corner. I think it's kind of a specialty item. Funny thing is, you know, me and my radios.
Yes.
This old boy has a CB shop. He has an old historic home in McKinney off of 380. And then the little add-on to his house is a CB shop. And man, I went in there and I didn't, you know, we horse traded back and forth. We did some trades and stuff. And anyway, but just like I said, you know, here's this guy and he's making money hand over fist, man. He's right off the freeway. He's right off of 75 and 380 CB shop. So there,
I haven't heard about a CB in a long time.
Oh man, that stuff's alive and well again. It has a resurgence, so I'm glad to see it come back. But here's my guy, Larry, and I make the pilgrimage out to McKinney to see him, and so he did some work for me, and he did it. He just hauled out a soldering iron and started doing the connections right there. And man, same day service. So love it, love it, love it. But well, man, I can't. Hopefully, Haley will be able to come on the program next week or real soon, and
yes,
share her expertise and energy.
Oh, the energy! Listen, look out! Look out!
Yeah, I mean, it's just, man, I can tell you that it's you get what you put in, you know, and then you put in a lot of effort. Many times you get results back from that effort. Many times, not
over and over and over again.
But this year has just been, you know, proof of that. Some areas I neglected, and man, ouch. The areas that I didn't neglect, okay. But the areas I neglected, not so good, right? In terms of not applying effort in those areas. And so, yes. Even, you know, I'm going to have to set my New Year's resolution now. I got my, let me show you what I got. Oh, I got a hardback. Usually this is soft.
Oh,
hard.
Is that a month at a glance, like? Or?
Who is?
Yes, sir.
Who is it? It's your goals. Yeah, it's a hard. It's a month and a week.
Yeah.
It's both section for notes, and I start working on this thing in December, which is by the end of the week.
Yes.
I'm gonna start transferring stuff over. And it's so funny because I always have goals. Goals for 2022. And I look at that stuff, it's like, oh, I mean, some of them I made, you know, but several of these goals I have to pay attention to because they carry over from 2020, or
yeah,
20, from 1998, not that far.
We're all guilty of that.
Holy exercise man. More, right. Eat better, right.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at offices right now.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, and got tomorrow at noon. I'm looking at two.
Come by here, man. Come by here.
Well, yeah, but you know, I want some traffic.
Oh, traffic.
Yeah, I want a little traffic.
Traffic.
Yeah. Like I'm only looking for 800 to 1,000 square feet.
So you're looking for a storefront, huh?
I want a little bit of a storefront. Do you know? But yeah. Anyway, yeah.
There's plenty of those. I mean, there's
oh, yeah, there is. And I'm looking at two over off of Harwood and 121.
Ooh,
that's a pretty nice little area.
You're not going to stay out where I'm at with the beautiful people?
Well, I can't afford those beautiful people.
Can't afford? Yes, you can, Wayne. You're one of the beautiful people, man.
Yeah. But this is just the beginning. So you got to start somewhere. And it's a good one.
Your humble beginnings in mid-cities.
Yes, in the mid-cities.
The mid-city.
So that's going to be a good one.
Oh, I know. You're talking about Harwood and that little old place that looks like a Swiss village. You know what I mean? Has a French provincial.
No.
What I'm talking about?
Well, that's nice, though. No, this was right at 121. It's
okay.
There's a good Italian restaurant in there.
Okay.
Been there for years and years.
Okay.
But
well, that's handy. That way you can go to the Italian restaurant from your own.
Lunch. Yeah. But I want to have a little storefront. I want to have a place that I can do a presentation, have a good display, something to draw people in, and something where I can have a group of people in at a time, too. So that'll be perfect.
Oh, so you can do demonstrations. Do you have to get some ventilation or any weird stuff like that?
No, we don't talk about that.
Oh, sorry.
No, we don't talk about that.
You don't need that for that George Foreman. Ow!
Yeah, that's right. We don't do anything. We don't need to vent anything. Yeah. We just let people vent. So. Well, now how excited they are.
Well, outside demonstration over here.
Yeah.
In the back. All right. Oh man, that's funny. Hey, maybe I can get a 50-foot mast up there. We can do some CB and I can do my radio ministry.
Man, that would be awesome. Man. Well, radio ministry. Now wait a minute. I like that. Now, that's a whole nother show.
You were the one that told me about it. You're the one that dropped that dime on me. Like, hey man, you want to make that a ministry? And it's pretty funny though. I'm usually one of the younger guys out there, even still at 60. There's a few youngins out there, but anyhow, but yeah, sometimes you preach to the choir, but you know what?
Let's not tell you something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Speaking of that, now we're talking about faith, but again, Thanksgiving.
Right.
It kind of, to me anyway, it reminds me of my faith too.
Yes.
But I pulled through. Listen, I've been running around like a chicken with my legs cut off.
Had a lot of stuff, yeah.
And I've been really busy, and I was rushing to get to the show. And I really hadn't planned much to be home much earlier, but I got tied up. And so I rushed through a drive-through to get something to eat. And I got some, I'll just tell you, I mean, I'll give them a free plug, Chicken Express. Have you ever heard of that?
Of course.
I'm not a big guy like that, but I drove through and got a couple pieces of chicken and a Dr. Pepper. And this lady that is at the window taking my money, they seem like they always want you to give them money when you get something from them. You know, I don't understand that. But anyway, I gave her my money and she was giving me my change. And I told her, I said, you look pretty today. Nice smile. And she had a ring in her nose.
Okay.
And a chain around her neck. You know, and I thought, whew. She handed me my change back and she said, sir, thank you very much, and God bless you.
All right.
You know what? Who are we to judge anyone? It says God will do all the judging, and God knows what's in the heart. And it doesn't matter if you got a ring in your nose and bells on your toes and bone in your nose, ho, ho. It doesn't matter. It's what's in your heart. That's what God looks at.
That's right.
And but we're all judgmental. We visualize, and there we go. We get a common. Everyone, no one's innocent of this. That's why all of us, even a Christian, will sin every day. We sin. We're sinners. But we look at people and we have an opinion. We hear somebody. We've got an opinion. Opinion. That's a judgment.
It is. It is.
So, that girl looked at me, and I mean, with every bit of sincerity, it gave me goosebumps. She said, God bless you. I said, holy cow, young lady, thank you. And God bless you too. Wow. That just, I always try to make a difference in someone's day. She made a difference in my day.
You made a difference in your day.
Yes, sirree, Bob.
That's awesome.
So there you go. We always have stuff to be thankful for. Always.
Yes. Yes, we do. You know, we got to make sure that I was doing some reading on this, and we got to make sure that we're not thankful in a narcissistic or a selfish way. In other words, I could say, I'm so blessed. Thank you, Lord, for that Escalade ESV and this 20,000 square foot mansion on acreage and fish in the pond that I dug out, all this food I'm able to bring to the table. You know what I mean? My prosperity. So you got to be careful that, you know, that we want to run a little deeper than that. You know, and then, you know, you get into the issue of thankfulness versus gratefulness, right? Are they the same thing? Are they different? You know, I'm grateful. So yeah, man, it's sobering thing. You know, I got to spend time with family and my sons here, some focused time with my two sons in their 20s. And, you know, so thankful and grateful where that they're in this, you know, and I know that's selfish, right? I lined up that, but it's not a reflection on me either. I am thankful and grateful that they're healthy and doing well in their lives and progressing, you know? So I don't know.
I just got a text from my son.
Oh, good. How's he doing?
He's doing real well. He's in San Francisco.
He's got to get on the show. That's who needs to get on the show.
I got to get him on the show. I talk, and he will too. He said he's running a distributor development event for 3 days out there, and he's got it rough. He's at the Omni Hotel in downtown San Francisco.
How does that make you feel that he followed in your footsteps?
Well, I'll tell you what, he's what makes me proud, of course. I mean, but I'll tell you, he's when he was a little boy, like 6 years old, he said, "Dad, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. I want to travel the world with Salad Master, or be a Salad Master and travel all over the world."
Wow.
He's far better than I am. I don't know where he got it. Seriously, he is deeper than I am. He's the guy that I'm telling you, his word is his word. There's no gray area. And he has so much respect from the field because they know what he's like. He's the same way every day.
Right.
And that's pretty cool. So I'm proud of him and I'm thankful. And I'm thankful that we've had some struggles in the past on things that people go through, and he's matured well. He's matured well, and my daughter has too. So yeah, you're always thankful for your children and my grandkids. But Braden didn't get his application in early enough because he still hasn't heard from A&M.
Well, there's still a chance.
And he's got his average grade is 100.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And his grade point, of course, is 4. Oh, and then he's a member of the National Honor Society.
Well.
So he's got it all going for him, but I hope he gets a call from him.
Yeah, I think it was early December. My son put in November, and he heard in December, or that November early admission time. And
oh, okay. And well, maybe he'll still hear from him then.
Right. And
he heard from the Razorbacks.
Oh, yeah, man.
They offered him a 95%.
Ooh. Ooh, man. Unless that kid is super special, he ain't going to get any money from A&M. I'm just being real with you right now.
But he lives here.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
It's a good thing. Rent state tuition, right? But one of mine got half scholarship at Oklahoma State, and the other one looked like he was working toward a full ride at Texas State, but I don't know, man.
If I got offered 95%, I'd already be in my 62 Dodge station wagon headed north.
I know, man. It just depends on what your brand loyalty. You know what I mean? If you've been sitting there as a small child wanting to be an Aggie and you know for that, then that has worth and value but if you're more pragmatic and college is college, then, hey, man, Arkansas, SEC school, recognized school, good alumni association.
Oh, man, good alumni.
Prettier campus, better weather. Over half that campus is from North Texas.
Yeah. I've got a good friend that I've known for years since we were little kids, and her family wound up in Fayetteville. And so she lives, breathes, sleeps, eats the Razorback life.
Yeah, man.
Goes to the games, and man, she's all over that stuff. So, that's a nice area. And boy, they do. They live the life. And Arkansas is a very good college.
No. There's like I said, a good Greek system, good standard of living, cost of living, apartments are good, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot to like about it. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, I had a little talk with my friend from LSU. I lived in Baton Rouge for a while. Of course, A&M beats LSU on their last, which, you know, hurts them a little bit, but they'll be going to the playoffs. LSU plays Georgia this next week, I think. But the A&M guys get a spiritual victory, but they still have a crappy year overall. But, you know.
Well, believe it or not, I watched the Razorbacks this weekend, and they just barely lost. Yeah. But they still lost, but they played a good game. They usually have a good team.
They do. They do. If you look at that offensive line, man, everybody's like 6'7", 300-plus pounds, and runs a 4.5 40. And think, how do these big boys run like that?
Yeah.
You know, but they do. You know, they always have some big guys on the line there. So always a fun team to watch.
But, you know, my grandson, Braden, he'll be fine wherever he goes.
Oh, yeah.
It'll all wash out. He's a good kid. When you're a good kid like that and you excel the way he's excelling, yeah, you're going to be fine.
It's hard to
and
be.
He wants to do international business now.
Oh, he does. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Well, that'll.
In school, he started taking Spanish in the second grade. And, I mean, he's fluent. He goes to Mexico with his dad.
Oh, good.
And Braden just, he doesn't speak English when he's there.
That's good, man.
Now, yeah. I mean, can you imagine that for 10 years? That's you're speaking.
Oh, yeah.
Learning Spanish. Oh, my goodness.
And coming out of the Sam Walton School of Business.
Wouldn't that be something?
What it is over there, I believe. It's Walton School of Business.
That's right.
And if all that fails, let's say he doesn't like international business, Arkansas has a supply chain management for supply chain. That Amazon and others snapped those kids up.
Man.
Matter of fact, I helped a young man, a coaching client, graduated from there, got picked up by Fidelity. Ironically, he was a supply chain guy coming out of there, but Fidelity picked him up here at the headquarters. I know. What can I say? Good coach. Seriously.
I coached somebody there. They're the lead French fry cook down at the local hamburger joint.
There you go. Well, he's a lead fry cook. That's what matters.
The lead. He's not.
He's not the secondary fry cook.
Did you ever see Coming to America?
Yeah.
Today I'm watching Lattice. Tomorrow I'm going to be on the fryer.
That's right.
And then they're going to make me assistant manager.
There you go.
That's when the big bucks start rolling in.
They start rolling in, man. Rolling
you got to have an attitude. That's what life's all about. You know, my dad told me, said, Wayne, said, if you dig a ditch, if that's what you wind up doing, being a ditch digger, just be the best ditch digger. And it's funny, I told my son that because, you know, we all passed down something from our dads. I said it to him. And he reminds me of that periodically. But he said, Dad, I got it. Remember when you told me, I don't care if you're a ditch digger, just be the best damn ditch digger you can be.
That's right.
He said, that's what I always remember. In other words, it's like.
Boy, it's amazing what they remember and what they don't remember.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. But, you know, it's like if a man pays you to work, work. If he pays you a dollar, work. A dollar's a dollar, 4 o'clock's 4 o'clock. That's something else my dad said.
Yeah.
Be honest. Honor your word.
Yeah, man. You know, and that's good to live by those principles.
Moral. It's hard. I mean, that's kind of what the Bible says, but it's hard. We all fail. We all fall off.
Well, yeah. That's
the neat thing. When you lay your head down at night, and if you're visiting with God, you're having a conversation. And first of all, you know, you give praise. You give thanks. And that it helps you. It helps everything. I saw I'm not quite finished watching a documentary on Netflix. And it's called Ancient Armageddon. Ancient Armageddon. I had to remember the last word. But holy cow, it's by this journalist. He's not an archaeologist. He's not an astrologist, but he's gone around to all these places in the world that had civilization before civilization was supposed to be.
Right.
They talk about the Aztecs in Mexico. No, no, no. That was built on top of an ancient civilization. And it talks about people coming from after these cataclysmic happenings, floods, that someone comes from the ocean, from the sea, from somewhere else.
Right.
And teaches the hunter-gatherers how to do these beautiful things with these stones that nobody knows about, even how they get there. And archaeologists will not admit it, but it's there. So anyway, I'll tell you what, it's pretty cool. You'll have to watch that if you ever watch Netflix. It's a great, 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 great little documentary. I think it's 8 parts.
Ancient Armageddon, what's it called?
Yeah. Yeah, Ancient Armageddon. It's pretty powerful.
Yeah, man. No, I'm sure, man. You know,
and it's funny. My son Andrew likes that kind of stuff too, so we're always sharing it back and forth when we see something like that. But it's pretty interesting. What we say has already been said.
Yeah, I was watching a Hulu thing, Hulu or on the Falwell scandal, Liberty University.
Oh yes.
Watching that. Man, I didn't realize some of that stuff, man. That's a little bit over the top. I'm like, wow, okay.
What a life being a pool boy.
Man. So good thing sin is sin. My goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. And that.
We'll just stop it.
That's a real pool boy.
Woo! There you go. There you go. Got the pool boy in there. Yeah. Got it. That's good.
Well, Bruce, how's it? I wanted to ask you some questions. Are you spending more time on the ham radio now? Are you getting out there a lot? And
well, I tell you, that's a great question. I think a lot more, you know, a lot more than, you know, it seems like every month it's a few more hours that I'm out there. And I do take it back on the CB bands. They're going again. The CB radio bands are going again. And some people operate some of those CB bands like a ham radio by using single sideband. Okay. But that said is, ooh, there's some savages out there dropping F bombs and
really,
and heckling people and suck my D and F you and all this other stuff, man. And then
when I was on there, that was illegal. I mean, the FCC was.
Yeah, now it's a bunch of savages. And then you have, then it's kind of racially divided. The Latinos are in one area, one group of frequencies, the whites, and then the blacks are in another area. This guy's like, they won't talk to you because you're white, Bruce, and all this other stuff.
I'll be darned.
Well, found Fourth Ward, Houston, Texas. Come on. And then, oh, yeah, man. pull a fast one, man. Like, yeah, man, you know what I'm saying? I'm one of the homeboys, you know, OGs from the 60s. You know what I'm saying? So, anyhow, which is true. It's true. I was outside the Fifth Ward where I grew up in Houston. So there's truth to that. But nobody, you know, umpteen in early mid-60s. So, anyhow. So, yeah.
Well, I also didn't hear just a few weeks ago, didn't you have an emergency down there at Huntsville? Or something you had to go to?
Oh, yeah. Well, no. Did I show you my, I was on Fox 4 News. I showed you that?
Yeah, I didn't get to see it.
I didn't send you the video?
No.
Oh, damn. Well, I was on Fox 4 News.
But I missed it. And so you got to send me the video if you could find it.
Right. So I was on Fox 4 News explaining to Sean Rabb, who's a great primer.
I like him. He's one of the
goats here in California. But explaining to him that the federal prison in Segalville is not just one prison. It's three prisons. And one of the three prisons doesn't have a fence around it. It's called a camp. It's like a work release, but it's a camp, you know. And so one of the guys from the camp walked away.
Okay.
And so they treated it as if it was the full-on prison escape. And I'm like, nah, it's considered a walkaway. Well, what makes it a walkaway? It's a walkaway when there's no fence. I'm walking past this holly bush.
Yes.
That's a fence. Well, holly and boxwood hedges. Gold-tipped petunias. That's the fence. So, so I had to articulate that to them, the role of the camp and how they support the bigger structures and why it helps these guys reintegrate into society. And usually you're a minimum security inmate to get in there and yada, yada, yada. So I
cool.
And Jose Santana explained to them in pretty good detail. It was a long, fairly long segment. So I'm excited about that. And so we got footage and pictures from that, and then we can go on other Fox affiliates from there. And that's part of my New Year's resolution.
That's awesome.
Several days later, an inmate got a gun and was and tried to shoot his wife in the visiting room with a damn gun. Like, how the hell did you get a gun in there? But I have the answer to that. I could have explained that to the Fox affiliate in Tucson. But I was playing hard to get. Like, hey, you know, I got the answer. Y'all want to know about it? Y'all give me a call. And I didn't have a call. So I'm like, eh, I should have been more assertive. I'm getting too big for my britches again, so I better humble myself and get back there and kind of grind a little bit more, you know?
Yeah. So,
anywho, but no, yeah. I didn't have to respond to anything. I remember in Huntsville. I didn't go to Huntsville. I would have remembered that. So yeah, no, it was more that. And anyway, I got a pretty solid criminal justice caseload these days. And you know, I got guys on probation, guys on parole, guys with a life sentence guy who's on parole, who's seeing me again. I thought I was done with him after about 6 years of treatment, but they want him to come back for a risk evaluation and a tune-up. So, yeah, man, it is interesting working with the criminal justice population, particularly sexual offenders and people that are boundary violators, you know, physical boundary violators. You know. Anyhow,
yeah.
Don't want to bring it down. That's just, you know,
you've got an interesting bunch of clients.
But I am grateful. Here's another narcissist shout out. I am grateful that there's people like me, though, that will work with these guys and help, you know, make society safer. You know what I mean?
Hey, you know what? You just made me think of, Bruce.
But I'm that head to do that work. So I'm glad to do it.
I could not do it.
Anyway, go ahead. What are you going to say?
My sister.
Yeah. Oh, your sister, yeah.
Has been in social work all of her career. She started working in a nursing home years ago with people that had issues. They were handicapped in nursing home, but they would fight you.
Oh, yeah.
Physically.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, she lived through that. And she grew, she moved up and she's with, I can't know what it is, but she's never finished college.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But she's one of those real smart people. And she has a job that only accepts master's degrees.
Oh, wow.
And she doesn't have even a college degree, but she's just smart.
Yeah.
And so the doctors even come and ask her about these patients. For a long time, she would handle troubled kids.
Right.
She'd have to take them from the home, or they would be taken from the home, then she'd have to find something, then she'd have to counsel with them and be, you know, like really run their lives for a little bit. And then some older people, too, that she helps them in their life.
Well, that's good.
We ought to have her on the show sometime.
And have her on the show, man.
And you talk about
direct caregivers, man. Direct care, baby.
Yeah, she works for, I don't know if it's the county or the state now, but you know, most of them are psychologists and psychiatrists. And then they've got the younger people. Now, Becky's not, I always tell everybody that's my older sister, but she's not. But we've always been the closest. She's 2 years younger than I.
Oh, that's not bad.
But when I called her for Thanksgiving, I said, happy birthday. She said, well, at least you're close, because her birthday's in June, and I never let her know that I know what day it is. I tell her, yeah, I know when it is. When is it? It's June 12th. Well, it's not. You know, she just gives me heck all the time.
Is but she in Indiana? Where's she at?
She's up in Indiana, or Illinois, I'm sorry.
Illinois, huh?
Yeah. So, but she works. Gosh, I wouldn't have the patience that she has. Yeah. And her son now works there, and he's got a degree in criminal justice.
Yeah.
And he went down to Baton Rouge and was an officer.
There you go.
For 10 or 12 years with, and then he went through that riot that they had down there a few years ago where policemen were killed and people were killed, and he kind of got PTSD or whatever it is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he came back to Danville and he started working in the social part. But he's one of those people that has the patience of Job also.
I have selective patience. I think we all do to some degree, but
to some
folks I'm patient with, but I ain't gonna lie. Sometimes I read people. The riot act, I guess, is the old old expression for it. And but I usually do it in a loving, bracketed way. But,
like W.C. Fields said, don't tell me I don't love you. I'll knock you upside the head.
Right. You know, some of these folks, what I am is the last piece of styrofoam in the water. Ain't no joke.
But I'm fully. I've never heard that.
Yeah. I'm the last house on the street, or that last piece of styrofoam floating in the water for you to reach out to before you die.
Oh, that's good.
So I know, man, and it's fun to. Anyway, it's not fun, but it makes the goal setting. It makes the discussions stay focused, right?
Yeah.
We're never at a loss of what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
Never at a loss of that.
Yeah.
Actually, what we're going to talk about today. I know half the stuff we're going to talk about next week.
Yes.
And
it's easy.
And on the weekend, and so it goes, you know, with little modifications. So, yeah. That's the fun part. And for me, it's not monotonous. Not at all. Not at all.
I think you brought something up earlier that I want to just expand on for our audience.
Sure.
That is the goal setting. And, you know, you're going to spend December, and if you're in the coaching industry, or you just listen to our show about what we talk about, which sometimes is just life. Mm-hmm. Really? You know, a goal not written down is a wish.
Yes.
You have to write it down and look at it.
Absolutely.
If nothing more, just look at it.
Yes.
And then when you've gone that far, share it.
There you go.
And if you shared it,
add some accountability to it.
Or if it adds some automatic, it adds some accountability and confirmation. And then one of your goals should be to check your goals every month and see where you are. Now, a goal, if you don't hit it, it's okay. It's a striving thing.
Right.
Your goal should be high, but it should also be attainable. It's like my brother always had a goal. He wanted to be a ballerina, but he weighed 375 pounds and he had real tiny ankles. So you see, that goal really was not obtainable. So you want your goals to be realistic, attainable, but you want to have to reach for them.
Ooh, I thought you were going to go with like a non-binary gender fluid thing. I thought I was waiting to get that one, but go ahead now. I'll let you go on that one. Anyway, yeah. Got me going. Sorry. Woo! But yeah, his phenotype didn't exactly match.
Yeah.
Ballet.
So make your goal a realistic goal. Yeah. And by the way, that wasn't true. That was just
a
metaphor. Yeah.
That's where you get a jaded guy like me, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah. My goal next year is to be a Chippendale. So you want to make him realistic. But you do want to set some goals. And you don't have to have 100 goals.
No. No, you don't.
Whatever floats your boat.
That is convicting, though. Because there are goals that I just written down and look at them a few times and then just kind of moved on. And then my excuse is, well, life got in the way and all this other stuff got, you know what I mean? I got distracted with other core responsibilities and try to smooth over with reasons, not necessarily excuses. Okay, they're excuses.
Hello, yes.
Damn good excuses.
Yes.
Of why I didn't do X, Y, or Z. Oh my goodness. So yeah, how fun is that? We'll have to do another goal setting thing.
We really do. You know, we need to probably, I think that'd be good. It's the teacher always learns more than the student. And when you're talking about goal setting and making them realistic, but making them where you have to strive for them, and you really shouldn't have a book full of goals. That's what that is a bucket list. But your goals should be specific. Mm-hmm. And there doesn't have to be many.
They can be time bound, steps toward the goal. Yeah, all this good stuff, right?
And a goal is something that you're committed to come hell or high water.
Mm.
That's one thing about a goal. Otherwise, you're not there. You know, you're committed that you'll give other stuff up to get this goal done. That's why you sit down and think about it first.
Maybe I'll do one of those Stephen Covey quadrant things or something.
Yeah, I've done those too. Yeah. But a goal, anyway, yeah, we ought to talk about that some more. That's good. Good to wind up with.
I sharpen the saw all day long with the ham radio and forget those other goals. Just kidding. But it sounds legitimate. Sharpen the saw.
I was, yeah.
I mean, yeah. Those, you know, I loved those. Man, they put us through Covey school in the 90s. And that boy, it's almost like Johnny Carson. Anyway, sorry, man.
I love it.
That's sorry. I can do it so well. It's right. If you knew, then you guys would be laughing out there, but you don't. You're thinking I just look like an idiot, which I do, unless you know what I'm imitating. Then I'm.
I got it.
But anyway, but yeah, man. So good stuff. We got about a minute and some change. So, all right. So another fantastic show this week. Thanks for hanging in there. Thanks for listening to our show, Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. We're on Apple Podcasts, on iHeart. I think we're on Stitcher now. And several other aggregators, thanks to Sam and his close relative, Ronan Rosner. We got to give a shout to Ronan, our man behind the scenes, Wayne, that works with me in getting all this stuff posted onto Apple Podcasts and these other aggregators. Anywho, you can find us on Concierge_Coaches on Instagram, our Facebook page, Concierge Coaches Show, which I've uploaded a lot of the shows where we've had guests, so you can go on there and see these in a private, uninterrupted way if you don't have time to navigate through the LA Talk Radio site. And I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Wayne, how can folks reach you?
Right now it's at wayne_515@yahoo.com.
All righty. Well, there it is, folks. Take care. Have a safe and blessed holiday. And Cyber Monday, don't spend too much money. And we'll see you here next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Bye, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.